listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to Spirit of Life for Wednesday, November 2nd already. I almost said October again. Jeez. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here as always. And yes, it is November.
I'm telling you.
And Michael, I bought a new shovel today.
Ah.
It's winter.
I guess that's what that means. I didn't know if, you know, you had bodies to bury or, you know, anything like that. But
somebody else asked me that today, too. What'd you do today, Vicki? I went and bought a new shovel. Oh, are you going to bury your neighbor? No, it's a snow shovel.
So, I mean,
to be here. I'm looking forward to tonight's show. Without burying people, there's ways to deal with difficult folks.
I mean, you know, it has to escalate to that, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that soon. Of course, we want to thank everybody that has taken the time to join us live. We appreciate your contributions. We love the chat. We love seeing you, and I look forward to catching up with you every week. And I got to see a few of you guys just a few days ago, many of you, and I appreciate it. It was a fun Halloween special. I think we'll have to do things like that again in the future.
We will.
Absolutely. Of course, Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission, as always, is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. Now, in addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, for our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, we're going to delve into our topic, dealing with difficult people and negative energy. So, Dr. Vicki, we know that you prefer to deal with especially difficult people by beating them with a shovel to death and then burying them with that shovel. But what if we don't want to go that far ourselves?
No.
I kid, of course.
We all have to confess. Sometimes it crosses our mind, you know. It's like somebody tells me about someone who's passed on, who is not a particularly likable guy, I say, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
You know, there's peace on the earth again, thankfully. So, no, I think where to start is lots of us have been dealing with negativity more and more. And I think it's a backlash of COVID, you know, social media, people don't have a filter, they're frustrated, they express anger. It doesn't seem to be a consequence to it. And I think it'll phase out. I think somebody will, you know, people will start to calm down a little. But I think that it's how do we deal with that. And as most folks know, I work part-time at the hospital as a patient ambassador. Mm-hmm. I have never in my life dealt with so much negativity in one place. Wow. And It's people are angry, they lash out, they're frustrated, and it's not just because, oh, they're scared, they're in a hospital, or they're stressed. It could be for something really simple, like they're visiting somebody or, you know, they're dropping something off. And Wow, they're just nasty.
Yeah.
And, of course, coworkers and myself, you know, we can debrief with each other a bit, and we know when you go home, you need about a half hour at least to kind of chill, get that energy kind of gone, decompress.
Yeah.
But it's how do you deal with that in the job? And I think that you have to be a certain kind of personality, number one, because you take a lot of abuse, get called names, get yelled at. I stay really still. You know, there's only, and I was surprised at myself, a couple of occasions I actually yelled back because they're not taking instructions and not listening to me. And like, it takes about the fifth time of telling them I yell, because one more second it's calling security.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, and yeah, thank you, Dr. Mike just said, dealing with aggression is not the best solution.
No, absolutely. Adding fuel to the fire.
Yeah. So it's to stay really calm and firm, you know, just standing in your own energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, there's lots of folks here. I know some folks are in retail. I know Wendy certainly is, and other people that, who come on the program weekly. And you're dealing with negative folks also. How do you then reason with them? Well, you don't. Let them kind of vent that out, and unless it's really hostile or violent where you have to call security. Let people vent. The one thing that somebody wants to know is that they're heard. Whether they're screaming, crying, whatever, they want to be heard. So let them kind of that out. And then have your moment to say, I hear you, however. And do your best in that way to kind of, you know, mitigate any further. Wendy just said, I have found letting them vent is the best. I totally agree. That's my experience also, Wendy. Let somebody vent it out.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, that's in a work situation where you're also kind of at the helm.
Yeah.
You're providing a service and so on. But it's not always the case when you're out in public or you're dealing with family members or friends.
Well,
Michael.
And yeah, and I know you're alluding to some situations, but you know, I'm gonna have an anecdote I'm gonna tell here in a moment, but I'm also gonna talk about how you know we're talking about letting people vent, we're talking about not engaging aggressiveness with aggressiveness, and I think that that is very true to a point. I think that we have to also maintain boundaries. And
yes, absolutely.
As soon as somebody crosses the boundary and they perhaps invade your personal space or they act physically aggressive to you and, you know, your physical safety is now in question. Children can throw a temper tantrum of any age and sometimes they just have to, you know, be reminded of who the adults in the room are, be that the burly security guards that come in and grab them. And mind you, that's not a gender comment. Women can be burly too, but also it is, you know, it's constantly just like a child does. They constantly push the boundaries, find out what can they get away with. And you know, we all do that to an extent a lot in life, but some people just, they really do it. They push those boundaries. They see what they can get away with. And the more you let them get away with, the more that they will try to take. So I think, you know, absolutely agree. Don't fight aggression with aggression. But maintaining boundaries and fight aggression with assertiveness and, you know, safety first, too, especially if it gets physical.
Dr. Zach says that's when it's okay to punch them, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, they lay a hand on you.
Yeah, Edward is saying in the chat that some of his strongest sources of stress years ago was with his supervisors. And you see, when you're dealing with people then who are in positions of authority, who are above you, and people power trip, you know, it goes on the long list of reasons why. But then we have to know our place and not care.
Yeah.
Now, this is what I really want to get to also. When you're talking about boundaries, it's fair enough to say to somebody, I always put my hand up and say, don't talk to me like that, or that's a boundary. And, of course, they're going to push to say, oh, well, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Well, I walk away. And when they, you know, it's like Dr. Kelly will say, the best way you know, to kill a relationship is not to communicate. Mm-hmm. And so when you walk away from, they have no one, you know, to vent to. When it's a boss, it's a little bit different if you're willing to put yourself at risk of losing your job. But where is the boundary, and what is there another resource like HR or something mm-hmm. that you can go
absolutely.
To?
Absolutely. Yeah, great point.
So it's, you know, it's like, what do you do in those situations? But I absolutely believe in that sense, feel, think, and do. I know we've talked about it before, Michael, but mm-hmm. it's even when you get blindsided or you have a moment in public where somebody shocked you, it's like, wow, I didn't see that coming. It's pushing that pause button and getting a sense of what's going on. What is somebody going through? Maybe they have a mental illness. Maybe,
right.
You know,
that's,
there can be a lot of reasons. Medication went sideways, you know.
Yep.
And so you have to then work through your own feeling in an instant and think about what you want to do here. You know, mm-hmm. it's then it's that. So even if you do nothing, that's still doing something because you're taking responsibility. I think the decision to do nothing is an action in itself. So it happens again, you can revisit and change your mind. So it's sense, feel, think, and do. Look, it's really hard to remember that when you're in a situation that, yikes, you know, I mm-hmm. didn't hear those words coming. I didn't hear that comment coming.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, but again, to process and then decide your course of action. If it's something that's repeatable, like a relationship in your life or mm-hmm. A family member, and maybe it can't be resolved. Some, you know, issues don't have a fix to them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's the balance of it, isn't it? That, you know, we don't want to just throw away relationships if we have a, you know, if a person's throwing off negative energy for a day, but if it's consistent, if they have consistently turned the relationship toxic, you don't have to feel trapped. You don't have to deal with that. And assertiveness, healthy boundaries, these are all tools that help you manage these difficult people. And I think you had also mentioned earlier looking at our own energy. And I think, you know, maybe it's wise to ask, you know, am I being the difficult person right now? I mean, I know I do sometimes.
Not me.
Oh, Dr. Vicky's not. No. She just has to deal with me. But, but you know, it's just, I always think that nobody thinks they're the bad guy. Nobody thinks that they're the a-hole, you know, to censor myself here. But we obviously look out in the world and they exist. There are some people that are just mean. They don't have, you know, any mental illness. They didn't have any significant disadvantage. They just, they have a lack of empathy. And because they look at somebody else as lesser than, they look at somebody and they feel powerful by putting them down. It's a hierarchical thing. It's like the, you know, the equivalent of when you're looking at a dog pack, one dog, you know, getting angry and snarling at the other to try to put him in his place. It's the same. It's a primitive form of behavior. You know, Wendy had said earlier when we're talking about, you know, children trying to constantly push the boundaries and see what they can get away with. She said in puppies too, and oh, isn't that the truth? But they're so much cuter. It's when be they kids or puppies, it's a heck of a lot easier to forgive them when they're trying to get away with stuff. If you're a 35-year-old adult, oh, it's just irritating, you know.
Having a temper tantrum like an 8-year-old?
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, I want to bring this up with before we lose it in the chat that gets scrolling here.
Oh, Dr. Ayon.
Yes, Dr. Ayon said she gets a lot of what we're talking about working on the ambulance. Mm-hmm. She says people get scared and they have to be calmed down and have things calmly explained to them. The louder they get, the quieter she gets. Finally, it comes to the point where they have to be quiet to hear her. And that's a great strategy and explained really well.
I love that.
And it's true. Once you can get someone to be quiet, and I've had that experience, you know, in my job, in my life, is once they vent, you know, and you say, okay, I'd like to explain this to you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Now, some people just get up and leave without explanation. Yeah. And you can't, you know, you don't have an opportunity, but that's, you know, that's okay. You have to deal with these situation, you know, as it is. But I want to say, if we have our own insecurities, if we have our own fears, if we have our own prejudices, we're not going to deal with situations well. And that would be like the second part of this discussion, where we have to check in on ourselves, like you said, mentioned a few moments ago, Michael, that is so critical. And sometimes we have these unconscious prejudices, or, you know, they call it unconscious bias. It can be towards people. It can be towards somebody with dark hair, blonde hair, red hair, but it could also be the nature of the environment, a blue room, or, you know, something that triggers a memory, but we're not conscious of the memory. And so we have to really know who we are and engage that environment really quickly, and to say, do I have a prejudice here? Is there something I need to look at that I'm not thinking straight? But the other is if a fear. Yeah. Fears are rampant. I think, and I don't want to go into this in depth, but I think that's where a lot of white folks are afraid of people of color. You know, there's a fear of something, even though there's no need for it. I mean, it's kind of a ridiculous pre-notioned bias, or something, a seed that's planted. So they do everything they can to avoid, you know, I know this, you know, well, one of my neighbors had said that some people had, some kids had been, you know, around that she thinks they're a gang. And I said, oh, okay, you know, whatever. Well, it really scared me, and they're natives, you know. Now, to me, I was trying to wrap my head around that for a sec, where why she felt the need to say that to me again. Mm-hmm. Again. But in her mind, she wasn't feeling like I had heard her. So now she had to, what, she goes in for the kill, right, to tell me they're natives. Like, it meant nothing to me, and I still didn't react.
Mm-hmm.
So now she doesn't know what to do, because I'm not going to feed that prejudice and that stereotype. But it was just so ridiculous. But people do have built-in fears.
Of course.
And yeah, we all have them.
Again,
just
nobody
know what they are.
Exactly. Nobody thinks they're the bad guy. Racists don't think that they're racist. Well, unless they're, you know, super proud, like, of course I am, and I'm just, you know, a horrible, horrible person, and I just do every wrong thing. But, you know, a lot of it is, like you were talking, it is, you just, I think one of the most insidious versions of it is viewing, you know, often in the West, viewing people of color as inherently more threatening, you know, based on a lot of, you know, stereotypes, like it was said in chat. I scrolled right past. Oh, Dr. Ayon had put that in. And of course, it is, and then you don't think of yourself as a bad person. You just think of yourself as, I'm just trying to defend myself. I'm just trying to, mm-hmm. you know, keep this neighborhood peaceful. I'm just trying to protect and da, 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 da. It is because you buy into a false narrative. You buy into something that, you know, a popular idea, or something that, you know, becomes kind of like, you know, common sense. It is not usually very reasonable or, you know, sensible. Common sense is just what a lot of people think to be true, whether it's based in fact or not. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it's just, okay, there's a couple different versions of common sense. There's common sense when it comes to, oh, maybe I shouldn't leave the milk out in the sun. And then there's also common sense and, oh, this is how this group of people act. Of course, everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. And that's just, you know, ridiculous. But, you know, we're talking about different types of negativity and negative energy and managing these relationships. And I know you had set me up with the segue earlier, but I'm going to come back to it way late and also in a completely jarring fashion. But, you know, we're talking about these kind of things. And I haven't had to end a relationship because of racism or anything like that. Although, you know, in these polarized political times, it's been kind of tough on a couple of them. But, you know, the one thing you have to look at is when somebody has been a friend to you, they've been loyal, they've always been kind to you, but their life is a constant swirl of, toxic behaviors and self-destruction and constant crisis, you know, what do you do? What do you do in that? Do you keep yourself chained even because of the loyalty? I mean, obviously, I think there... Well, I think we need to segue into this real quick, because I was about to say there's a point where maybe you should say something if you can offer some insight or help, but does that break the rule of not giving unsolicited advice? And then is there a balance to that? Is there like, well, I think that you, you know, shouldn't smoke, or I think that you, you know, should paint your house this color because it would go better with you, and, you know, whatever. Or, you know, parents telling their kids that they should have children themselves or something like that. I think that's a different kind of unsolicited advice. If you look at somebody that you've known for years and they've been a good friend to you, and then they just start these incredibly self-destructive patterns, I mean, do you just say, well, yeah, they're going to do their thing, I guess I'm just going to step back? Or do you step in and try to offer some advice, even though it's unsolicited? What's your take, Dr. Vicky, on that kind of out-of-the-box question?
You know, that's a tough one, Michael, because I have actually had those experiences more than once in my life where someone has changed what I think is a change. What I didn't realize is that it was always in them. So I was friends with a false representation. That's how I see it. Now, having said that, there is such a thing also as somebody's had a trauma, their manner is different, and you say, look, can I help you? But you can't go down with the ship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone is self-destructive and impacting your life, you have to put up those boundaries to say, I can't go on this ride. I'm here if you're ever serious that you want help. But yikes, you know, it's a hard one, because when you really love somebody, you want the best for them. But again, there's don't give unsolicited advice. Don't interfere in somebody's process, if that's their process. You can't make people do anything. You can only offer to be compassionate and supportive, but with that boundary. You can't go down with the ship. You know,
true. You know, I've had discussions with friends, you know, who would drink and drive, or, you know, that were drinking too much. You know, one friend was out and he partied, had a blackout, and apparently had an adventure, didn't remember it, woke up the next morning, and was told about a lot of these things. And I gave unsolicited advice. So, I mean, at that point, maybe shame on me. I just said, I'm worried about you. You know, this is just not like you. I think you were... He was dealing with a hard time, and I said, I just don't want you to, you know, get into, you know, an accident or have a big problem, you know, or have something that could threaten somebody else's life. I think you need to...
I don't know if that's unsolicited advice in so much as it's being a friend.
Well, that's exactly... Where do you draw the line? And so that's how I needed to speak to him about that, and he appreciated it, and he's a lot better now, thankfully.
Yeah.
Hadn't had any incidents like that since, and, you know, it's been good. So, again, there's a balance, there's a line, when I have another friend, that's not actually the anecdote I was going to say, I have another friend who, he was a friend for years, and I don't hate him, I don't dislike him, I don't know, my soul grew too tired, and he always had kind of, you know, problematic things, you know, keeping a good job, and, you know, just, it was always kind of something, you know, but he was loyal. He was there to help if you needed. After he had broken up with his long-term girlfriend, he just kind of started down a rough path. He became entangled with somebody much, much more toxic. They kind of, you know, fueled his own bad habits, and then it just spiraled from there. And, you know, the friendship ended when I learned that he'd gone to jail for getting in a shoving match with his girlfriend and or wife, I don't recall what it was at the time, who was pregnant. Yeah. Now, she had also had the police called on her for beating him and leaving bruises and cuts on him. But the fact that you would stay in that, and, you know, the fact that you would live that style, and I couldn't do it. I'm not going to be party to that, and I had to walk away from that because the negative energy was... It had soured the friendship. Yeah.
I found out something about a long... I had known this woman for 25 years, And it was a situation where she was very unkind to a dog. I had no idea about that, that she had it in her, Michael. That I she, ended the friendship.
I'm so sorry.
That she could be cruel.
Oh, she was cruel to her dog.
Well, it wasn't her dog. It was a dog that showed up at her house, you know, anyway. And I ended it because I couldn't process somebody I knew and believed was a friend could have that kind of cruelty. And but then when I got the whole picture of her, see, we buy into the picture people tell us. But also people change. Look, I came out of the 60s and the 70s of hippies and, you know, cool freedom, all that stuff. And they, right now, a lot of those people I knew are right-wing conservatives. And I go, what happened? Mm-hmm. You know, what happened? You're Republicans, you're conservatives, and you're way over there, and they're radical. And I'm going, what happened to the little hippie kid I knew? And like, so people change. Everybody's on their own ride. And, you know, they can do that. I want to thank Edward in the chat for reminding us about Dr. Kelly's adage. Mm-hmm. You know, his technique is, can I share a concern with you?
Absolutely.
And that's a fair thing to say in a friendship.
Absolutely. And
It's an excellent. We get it.
Absolutely. And, you know, C. Shepherd had said much the same thing. I'm concerned about you and things like that would be a way to put it. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And
Dr. Mike says, if you remember the 60s, you didn't experience it. Oh, well, news for you. I don't remember grade 11. Funny.
But. You know, it's people do change over time, and I guess I should top off that story that I was telling, because the thing that really put the nail in the coffin on that friendship was he wanted to get bailed out, and he had a place to stay because he had a restraining order against the mother, future mother of his kid, who was at his house, and so he wanted to stay with me, and I didn't want to be in the middle of it. I didn't want to deal with it. I was very disappointed in him that he would get drunk and be physical around her. And so I said no. And that ended it right then and there. And, so, you know, obviously that's a pretty obvious example. I think at that point, who's going to, you know, well, I guess there's a balance to everything. Everybody has to make their own choice, but that was the choice I felt I had to make at the time. And, it is what it is.
Yeah, and those are hard choices in life that we have to make, whether it's an immediate family member, an acquaintance, a friend. You know, you have to end it because it's just not a healthy place to be. And that's when we are choosing who we want to be and what kind of energy we want in our life.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to do that. But again, it's being who we are, staying true to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And standing quietly in our, you know, in our own power, we're less affected by, you know, those around
Absolutely.
And all that negativity that's flying around out there.
So. Absolutely. And check in with yourself. You know, I will speak from personal experience that I have been a source of negative energy for other people because I can get stuck in my own head. I have an inner monologue going. I'm thinking about this, that, and the other. I'm feeling despondent, you know, I'm getting irritable, not at anybody. It's not about anybody around me, but I'm giving off this vibe, this negative energy, and people pick up on it. And I have to be careful on that myself sometimes that I'm not, you know, putting that stuff out. So again, check in with yourself. It happens to the best of us, even, you know, the average of us like me, but we just have to check in. So.
Thank you for sharing that, Michael. That's never happened to me, but I can appreciate you saying that.
I can't imagine that you have a shred of negative energy, just a font of, you know, beautiful white light.
I've had my days. But that's when I used to just stay home.
Well, you were burned at the stake in a previous life. I mean, come on, that's going to put a chip on anybody's shoulder.
Yes, indeed. My anti-Christian movement, you know. I think that's probably true. So,
well, not to laugh at being burning at stake.
Names in the chat for who'd like a
oh,
card,
they know it's that time of night. You know, we were talking about, you know, how much time. Well, I was talking about how much time we're going to be able to talk about. But no, I have really appreciated this discussion, Dr. Vicky. Some just great points and great avenues. So I really appreciate that. And people in chat, appreciate you sharing the story, your stories, contributing, and thank you so much. So it is that time of the night. We're going to do some inner oracle cards from ICMH, and then we have your tarot cards, Dr. Vicky, that you're going to pull through. And I am going to start scrolling because I think somebody put their... All right.
I got it, Michael.
All right. I have number 9, empowerment.
Good one.
All right. Number 9, empowerment. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution and principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
And in support of that, you know, we're talking about difficult people, Ione, and I, empowerment with the, oh man, that Jack of Spades, the Knight of Swords in tarot language, it is a certain particular energy that you might be dealing with who is aggressive or maybe overly assertive. Mm-hmm. And all I can say to that is maybe heed some of the points that we've talked about, you know, throughout tonight's program, Ione, is your empowerment, that reminder that you have that inner light, that inner strength to deal with anybody who might get in your face. So a situation here or somebody who is maybe trying to cross your boundary, your boundaries in this case. And my sense is it's probably something, you know, work-related in that way. And it's just know that you are the boss of you. That's what I want to say.
I like it.
That reminder. Yeah. We have Dr. Mike next.
All right. Dr. Mike. And he had shared some exciting news with us. You know, he has been with us before, and we've had some great conversations on this broadcast. I believe I don't know if I'm, should I say it out on the broadcast? Is that maybe breaking something?
Let's
but he has an opportunity to potentially be involved with Ancient Aliens and do a little segment for them coming up. So that would be very cool. We'll have to keep an eye out. But Dr. Mike, tonight I have wild card number 6, entropy. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies or low entropy that can wane to uselessness or high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her personal entropy and the world is a better place.
I got the 5 of clubs in support of that message, Mike. Very often I just see it as where you could be preparing for something antagonistic, but nothing happens. You know, it's like the enemy's at the gate, but they don't attack. You know, or there's things going on, but it doesn't go the way one might have expected. And actually, I see it as peaceful. So in this case, when it comes to entropy, it's just maintaining your own energy and having that intuitive sense or perceptivity to know that everything's pretty cool. You know, the situation is at hand, or, you know, you know what I'm trying to say. It's good, in other words. And it just got a flash of, you know, when that 5 comes up, 5 people, and 5 people talking in a circle, but it goes better than you anticipate. So that's my message.
Ah, I love that. I always love those you know,
flashes.
Insights. Yeah. See, you know, I am envious and jealous because when I pull a card, we're doing the statistical odds. What is the galaxy saying through probability of the card you're going to get? But I love that insight. All right, moving right along, I believe after Dr. Mike, we have Dr. Raven. And I have number 11, awareness. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
I got the Six of Hearts in support of that, Raven. I like it. You might be called into action with family or family members, and it's matters of the heart. I'm not seeing anything negative here, but it's that reaching out and connecting. And that awareness message is being intuitive to know that there's something behind the words and you get to be a support. So I think it's kind of like you being called into action, and compassion is a word that kind of sticks out in my head here. So it's just a little message, and hope it makes sense in some way. So.
All right. Good message. All right. So we have Dr. Edward next.
Yes.
And Dr. Edward, I have number 13, positive consciousness. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary.
I'm with you on this one, Dr. Edward, and you could probably pick lottery numbers and it would kind of work. And I mean that sincerely. Positive consciousness and good news about money coming. So I don't know if you go play bingo. I don't know if you buy a lotto, but there's some good news about something extra coming your way. So I sound like a real fortune teller when I speak like that, but that's what I see, Michael. What can I tell you?
Hey, you got to speak the truth, or your truth. And, you know, the thing that always interests me about this is how the future is ever-changing, ever-shifting, you know, in constant movement. But, all right, I do like it, the insightfulness. And, you know, I just had it, but our next card is Ronaldo, for you tonight, I have number 2, esteem and validation. Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation, that is, what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you can give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path. Good card.
Well, it is a good card. And Ronaldo, in keeping again with tonight's topic in some way with the Five of Diamonds, I feel like somebody's turning their back on you. You know, like somebody's not there for you. And that for you to know yourself well enough that it has nothing to do with you. It's their thing, not your thing. So that's where I want to go with this. Very often that Five of Diamonds is you walking away from somebody or they're walking away from you. And in this case, I think it's they don't have your back. So, and you have to make your own decision about where you go from here. So hope that makes sense in some way. It's certainly not in a negative. I'm not meaning to be negative. I'm just telling you that your self-esteem, you've got this, and check in with yourself that you didn't do anything wrong. That's my feel.
All right, so
Wendy is next.
All right, our card keeper, Wendy, just another huge thank you. She has been tracking cards for us, and we love to see the patterns, and it just kind of adds a whole new twist to things. So thank you to our card keeper, Wendy. And Wendy, tonight for you, I have number 15, belief system and knowledge base. We've had a lot of first-time polls for folks tonight, so I'm curious if you've had this one, but let's see. We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution or direction lies outside of our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within.
I got the Ace of Clubs in support of that, Wendy. I like it. And that's, I see the Ace of Clubs as success through achievement. And in this case, it's your knowledge base and who you are and what you bring to the table. And I see you getting some kind of extra recognition for that. And again, I'm going kind of in the workplace, I think, where I'm not saying you're getting an award, but there's some kind of accolades for you. Something is there because people recognize that you're just really good at what you do. That's all there is to it. So congratulations. I think that's awesome.
That is awesome. I always like to hear a great message for a great person.
Yeah.
All right. And then
Tabitha,
for you, I have number 30, greatness to deliver. Let's see, number 30, greatness to deliver. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness, and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what is common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you are valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world.
Six of Clubs. I like that. There's a celebration here, something that, you know, and I have to take it in the context of, you know, Michael saying your greatness to deliver. I want to say a recognition for you also, Tabitha, but more self-recognized. So you feeling just really good about yourself, that you achieved something and you're having a little celebration to it. So, and also, you know, I think what I'm seeing is inner revelations, you know, of, wow, I can do a lot more than I realized. So it's, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
All
so
right.
We have a couple of new folks who've joined us. A few new folks have joined us tonight, Michael, and one of them is Chris Shepherd. Welcome, Chris. Chris, glad to have you here.
Yeah, excuse me. As I continue to scroll until the chat gets bounced back, because we're having an active chat, I know that Chris or Christina, but your friends call you Chris, and I'd like to think we're all friendly here. So, Chris, we're going to pull a card for you, and I think Jean had asked for a card too, didn't she?
Yes, we have. I know Chris had asked, put her name in there, asked for it, and then Jean popped up, and then Chris asked again, as I see. That's kind of how I read the chat, but I could be all wrong because it was going pretty fast.
So. It is going fast, but hey, yep. we're going to go ahead and, Chris, we got you. We have tonight, let's see, Invoke the Counselor Within, number 19. All right, Invoke the Counselor Within. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself not to codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside of yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you.
I got the Eight of Hearts in support of that, Chris. And it, basically, in tarot language, it's the Eight of Cups. And I've always seen that as pure intuition. And it's because you're walking in the dark, you only have the moon to guide you. And so you have to be perceptive and intuitive. So your answer, I believe, lies outside the box, outside a typical way of thinking. And it's really saying, trust your own sense about the direction to take and what the next step is. So really have to trust yourself. So that's an affirmation to you. Whatever is at hand at the moment, trust your gut on this. That's the message.
All right. Good
message.
What
do we got for Jean? Welcome, Jean.
Tonight, Gene, I have number 43, expediency. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency. Others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avail, and wisdom to know when to slow down to assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it. Good card. I will admit, every time I think of timing is everything, it makes me think of the Steve Martin joke when he thinks, you know, the one key to comedy is timing. But
it is. No, in support of that, for Gene, I got the Ace of Hearts. That's really cool. So, you know, that Ace of Cups, the Ace of Hearts, it's about fulfillment and being true to yourself, right? That's what makes you fill your heart, like the joy that you come from. So whatever situation is at hand, knowing what to deal, you know, what to do, how to deal with that so that you feel good about you and living from the heart. So that's an affirmation here. You know, Dr. Mike says he lost sound. I hope that's not true for everybody. Wendy said she did too, but it came back, and people are saying to refresh in the chat. We're back.
Well, we were.
Sorry about that. A glitch in the matrix, you see.
Well, they're trying to silence the truth. I'm telling you, geez. But
we're getting censored.
But
I hope
no.
that makes sense for everybody, yeah. And it's a little tidbit for you. It's you know, we love doing this, and for newcomers, we're really glad that you joined our group. Last Sunday, we did a special for Halloween, and for all the years, and I mean years that we've been doing this program, we've never done such a thing, and we are looking forward to other special occasions, which might be like the Yuletide one, or, you know, something else that kind of is off of our Wednesday. And I gather that Sunday worked pretty well for everybody, so that's kind of where we might like to keep it. So we like your feedback.
Absolutely.
We love the feedback, and any ideas that you have for upcoming programs, let us know. There has been chatter, Michael. We cannot leave tonight without, you know what I'm going to say.
Well, obviously.
No,
you know.
Dr. Mike started a whole thing about the Ouija board.
It's the demons that are obviously affecting things because we tempted the dark spirits.
So I think next week we're going to talk about exactly that. Isn't a Ouija board real, or is it just a board game and a bunch of wood? And what are these different things that we use as mediums to connect with spirits, connect with our intuition, connect with? So I'd like to talk about that, Michael.
Absolutely.
Ouija boards and other mediums, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that's a great topic. I think something that we can have a lot of fun kind of digging into. And, you know, a lot of these things are unverifiable in some ways, and those are the best questions to ask. Thought experiments push the boundaries of thought, you know. Let's explore it. Let's see, you know, what is it that is that link? Is it the unconscious mind? Is it the Akashic record kind of speaking to us? Is it maybe spirits from beyond the grave, like some think? Really looking forward to that one. And hopefully such talk of demonic spiritualistic things will not interrupt the internets. But as we come to a close tonight, I do apologize. We noticed that the upload on from my end was a little bit slow tonight. I think it might... I don't know whether to blame Comcast or what, but, you know, it seems to be a little spotty on the upload, although the downloads are coming in good. So sorry for anybody that lost sound for a little bit there. I'm pretty sure that was probably the best part of the program tonight that you lost. So what are you going to do? But thank you, everybody, for just a great chat tonight. A lot of back and forth. Dr. Mike, so excited for you. You know, you've just been a tremendous presence on this program. Smart guy, biologist, love talking with you, and just you have a great way of kind of relaying information. So I really hope that works out. Chris, happy to have you joining us. And to everybody else, Wendy, thank you for being our card keeper. Dr. Ione, Dr. Greg, a lot of great contributions tonight. So thank you so much. And Dr. Zach, of course, love having you. So any last thoughts, Dr. Vicky?
Don't let them push you around out there, guys.
That's right. I'm going to stop letting Dr. Vicky push me around, too. So we're going to get through this together, guys. But
we will. Hang in there. Just be yourself, everybody, and do the very best you can, taking 1 hour, one day at a time.
I couldn't say it better. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.